At the beginning of Palm Sunday Mass, we hear a gospel that's different than the gospel that we hear at the normal time. And that gospel is always the gospel of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. And when Jesus enters in Jerusalem, he's surrounded by a crowd of people who are with him on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And he's coming from Galilee, which is a great distance from Jerusalem. So we can imagine him picking up people as he goes. And so it's him and his disciples, but more people are traveling with them. Jesus, the Gospels tell us, is even performing miracles on his way there. So there would have been this crowd of people who are visiting Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And they really believed that Jesus was their promised Messiah, who was going to save them from oppression by the Romans, unite their people, bring a lasting peace. And so they were so joyful, and we hear it in the hymn that they were singing today, as our gospel writer tells us, "Hosanna to the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna to the Son of David." So such joy the people had, and amazement at what Jesus was doing. But then when Jesus gets into the city, everything changes. We're told that Jerusalem is shaken by the arrival of Jesus, and the people of Jerusalem want to know who this is who is coming to Jerusalem. So we have two very different reactions to Jesus, responses to him. We have the reaction of the people who are accompanying him on pilgrimage to the city. They are overjoyed at being with Jesus. And we have the reaction of the people of Jerusalem, especially the religious authorities there, who are very hostile to the arrival of Jesus. It's very interesting because this is a consistent theme in Matthew's gospel, and we saw it even right away at the beginning of the gospel. And this is the gospel we hear on Epiphany Sunday, when the Magi come and they come to Jerusalem and they say, "Well, we've come here because a star has led us here. The newborn king of the Jews has been born." And the gospel writer says the people of Jerusalem were deeply troubled at what they had heard. Isn't it interesting? Their Savior has been announced to them. The one that they've been waiting for 1,000 years has finally come. And what's the reaction of many of the people? It's fear. It's resistance. They're not interested, actually. And among these people are the ones who are thought to be the most religious, the Pharisees, the scribes, the people who did everything right, who observed their faith perfectly, at least outwardly. And it's something that it shocks me more and more as I continue to read the Gospels year after year. These people who knew the Scriptures better than anybody else and were following what the Scriptures said to do better than anybody else, they were the ones really at the center of the rejection of Jesus. And so why would people reject him in the first place? If it's such good news for you and me that he brings, if he is the promised Savior that we refer to him as, why would people's hearts close towards him? So if we think about the people of Jerusalem and the religious leaders especially, we can imagine, and maybe we can relate to this too, that we get set in our ways, and we like to have, we become comfortable in our habits, and everything makes sense to us, and our life makes sense, and our faith makes sense. We don't want anything to shake that up. We aren't interested in anything new entering our life or entering our heart, because we're comfortable the way that it is. So as we enter now into Holy Week, we have to ask the question, how do we respond to Jesus? How do we respond to Jesus's call and invitation in my life? How do I respond to Jesus's desire that I not be stagnant, even in my religious practice, but that I'd be willing to go deep with him? It wasn't enough for Jesus that the Pharisees and scribes observed their faith outwardly. They did everything right. That wasn't enough. He wanted that, but he wanted more than that. He wanted their hearts. He wanted them to be converted so that they really wanted nothing more than what he wanted for them. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can feel a lot of resistance in our hearts to this. I want my way. I don't really want God's way. The sufferings that God brings me in my life, I don't want. Even though it's clear that God has given them to me, chosen them for me, that he's given me a cross to bear. How much do I resist that? But when I do that, I'm resisting God himself, who wants us to trust him as our loving Father. A couple years ago on Palm Sunday, Pope Francis was talking about Saint Francis, the one whose name he took when he became elected Pope. He was talking about St. Francis's great devotion to the crucifix and to images of our crucified Lord. And he said often, if not every time Francis saw a crucifix, he would be moved to tears. And once when Francis was so emotional in front of a crucifix, he looked at his brother Franciscans, his friars around him, and he noticed that none of them were crying. And he said, how can you not cry? How can you not be moved to the depths with emotion? How can your heart not be broken for how Jesus suffered? There's a beautiful symbolism in this liturgy that has to do with when we all have these palm branches that we hold in our hands as the priest enters the church. So we're kind of with the crowd, so excited about Jesus, amazed by Jesus. But then a few moments later, what are we doing? We're reading along with the Passion account and shouting ourselves, crucify him, let him be crucified. I don't know about you, but when I used to be in the pews and that came to that part, I don't want to say those words. I don't want to say the words, let him be crucified. But what's the meaning there? It wasn't the religious authorities in Jerusalem who put Jesus to death. It wasn't the Romans who put Jesus to death. I put him to death by my sins. Our sins are what caused Jesus' sufferings. Our sins are what caused those terrible whippings that he received, and the agony in the garden, and the mockery and the scorn of the soldiers, and the nails that were put in his hands and in his feet. That's my sins that did that. It's our sins. That's why Jesus suffered so much, because of me and because of you. So then Pope Francis said this, after he talked about Francis of Assisi, he said, what about us? Can we still be moved by God's love? Have we lost the ability to be amazed by him? If we have, why? Maybe our faith has grown dull from habit. Maybe we remain trapped in our regrets and allow ourselves to be crippled by our disappointments. Maybe we have lost all our trust or even feel worthless. But perhaps behind all these maybes lies the fact that we're not open to the gift of the Spirit, who gives us the grace of amazement. So during this Mass, let's ask for this grace from our God, the grace for our hearts to be opened, for this grace of amazement, for this grace to be open to the newness that the Holy Spirit desires to bring into our hearts. Let's ask for this grace, especially as we approach these holy days of Holy Week, that we would want our hearts to be touched by Jesus's suffering and death, that we'd want our hearts to be broken by the knowledge that it's my sins that put him on the cross, that we want our hearts to be so moved by God's love for us that he would do this for me, even though I'm a sinner, and he would show me how much he loves me by dying on the cross. Let's ask for this gift today, this gift for our hearts to be moved with love, moved with compassion, moved with sorrow for Jesus. For as we bear the cross in our life, Jesus desires to lead us with him to the resurrection.